This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by NVIDIA, the inventor of the GPU. NVIDIA's Tesla GPUs are designed to accelerate HPC applications. Learn more by visiting NVIDIA at SC11. www.nvidia.com/SC11.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Big data rains down on Seattle.
Green 500 goes blue.
And SC11 winners and losers. Hello and welcome to our SC11 wrap-up edition of HPC Wire Soundbite. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined by my regular partner, Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire. How's it going, Michael?
It's going well.
As well as Nicole Hemsoth, who's now at DataNami.
Hi, hey, Addison. Hi, Michael.
I'm Cole. So we're here. It's Thursday. It's Friday morning, and the show just wrapped up, and we're going to do our wrap-up edition. We've got we're going to talk about big data, as we said. We're going to talk a little bit about the Green 500 and our normal winners and losers concept that we've done every year at SC.
So right. Now it's an extended conference this year. There's still some technical sessions, some panels going on today, but the show floor closed yesterday afternoon, a little earlier, right? 3 o'clock. That 3 surprised o'clock. Me.
And again, you still got your panel you're going to do this afternoon?
I got a Crossfire panel this afternoon with a couple of great guests. So I'm looking forward to that.
We're looking forward to that as well. So let's get right in. Big data was the theme of this show coming in, and it was here. It was all here. It was all over the place.
I was very impressed, and we were talking about big data with just about every technology vendor that we were talking to, and part of that conversation was a new sister publication to HPC Wire, DataNami. Hey, Nicole.
Hey there. Thank you for not saying DataNami.
I've been doing that just to tease you.
I've noticed that people, depending on where they're from, especially in the United States, there are alterations on how you pronounce it. So there's DataNami, DataNami.
What are you writing about in DataNami, Nicole?
In DataNami, I'm covering, of course, data-intensive computing, big data, whatever you want to call it. Certainly we're differentiating coverage from HPC Wire based on, loosely anyway, kind of that difference between compute-intensive and data-intensive. And so every vendor here this week sort of had a story and usually had an enterprise type of story to communicate use cases about what massive data growth is producing.
Well, what I really like about this in the context of supercomputing, to say HPC is big data or big data is HPC is an oversimplification. But when you look at the big data phenomenon where people are dealing with increasing amounts of data within the constructs of their previous infrastructure, getting stressed out about that, there are technologies that have been resident in the HPC community or developed in the HPC community that apply to the different categories of big data applications and represent a growth opportunity for a lot of the vendors here.
It's interesting too. It seemed like all of the vendors and certainly on the storage side on out were very excited about the big data trend, liked calling it big data, liked kind of seeing this as something new. But when I went around to the national labs and some of the universities, they had a different approach to big data. They said, well, we've been doing data-intensive computing for quite a while now. This is nothing new. We've been addressing some of these problems. So there's sort of a chasm in terms of how the two communities are viewing it. You know, certainly it's not new, but it does require some new approaches.
Yeah, see, I think, again, that's trivializing the problem a little too much. There's small big data, just like there's entry-level HPC users. And it's not fair to say somebody who's doing engineering or science on a 30-node cluster isn't doing HPC any more than someone who's getting overwhelmed with their data infrastructure because they're dealing with, approaching terabytes of data for the first time isn't dealing with a big data problem. Big data is relative to the infrastructure that you had before because of the pace of increase.
You know, and the other thing I know is even though we say that data-intensive computing has been in supercomputing for decades, really the infrastructure hasn't been there. I mean, the supercomputer, I think you can make the case, the very first data-intensive supercomputer is Gordon. And that was just deployed. It hasn't even been deployed yet. It'll be fully up, I think, in January of next year. And so it's been the subject, the topic, and the workloads have been there for decades, but we really haven't had specific infrastructure and vendors addressing this until really recently.
And it also depends on the types of applications we're talking about. If you look at the hierarchy of applications, as Nicole is looking at them in Datanami, there's certainly some traditional things like complex event processing and data mining that have been around before but are getting more complicated in the construct of the enterprise analytics, the research analytics, the real-time analytics. There are a lot of different elements of big data. Is it large files, many files, real-time I/O, computing within the lifespan of your data? I think all of these are areas where HPC vendors need to look at what their application is, but it's more complicated than it's been before.
And a lot of conversations revolve around some of these frameworks too. Hadoop, something coming out of Google now to sort of replace the MapReduce paradigm called Caffeine was a subject of some conversation. Frameworks like Adios out of Oak Ridge, all of these things are sort of shaking up how we're going to handle data-intensive computing.
Even Platform gave a breakfast seminar on a new version of Platform Hadoop, and of course that's now part of IBM. You imagine they're going to plug this whole thing into building a smarter planet.
You know, the one thing I noticed, I mean, we had the traditional HPC vendors here talking about big data, but where are the traditional big data guys? Where's SAS and Greenplum and TIBCO and guys that maybe should be addressing this user community? I mean, you've talked to some of these things, but why do you think they didn't come to the show?
I actually asked somebody from SAS. I didn't even look at the vendor list. I assumed that they'd be here and said, yeah, when are you going to be available to meet with me? They said, well, we might have one person there. Companies like that have been reticent to associate themselves with HPC. And some of this is based on hearsay and private conversations with people from these companies. But it's only now that they're starting to see some of the bleed over on the hardware side. Companies like LexisNexis Risk Systems, they have a really interesting offering out right now. And they're directly identifying themselves as HPC, what they're doing. And that sort of brought SAS out of the closet and TIBCO and some of these other companies that have sort of mixed affiliations. So I bet you anything, by next year, some of these software vendors that we didn't see here, we're going to find here next year, including SAS.
Yeah, I think that's a strong possibility as well, but we'll see.
Why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the newly posted Green 500 list.
Accelerate your HPC application with NVIDIA Tesla GPUs. As a companion processor to the CPU, Tesla GPUs are designed from the ground up for HPC and deliver industry-leading performance per watt. To learn how Tesla GPUs can accelerate science and engineering, visit NVIDIA at SC11. www.nvidia.com/SC11.
So, Michael, you were telling me the Green 500 list is now up. What are you seeing there?
So it's all shook up, unlike the top 10 on the
top 500 was pretty stable.
Yeah, it was the same crowd. So the Green 500 changed a lot. I mean, last year we saw BlueGen Q, I think a prototype system was up there, maybe two of them up there. But now
IBM's launched BlueGen Q now.
And they've launched it officially now.
Right. So
there are actually five BlueGen Q systems on the top five systems. So,
really?
Yeah, I mean, they're all basically clustered together. They have a very high energy efficiency. But now that they're on the top 500, they're deployed or they're at least being tested somewhere. They captured five of the top 10. And the other five are GPU computers of one sort or another, including Subam, I think was number two or three last. So things are shaking up. So I think we're sort of seeing that dichotomy now on the energy efficient computers. You have BlueGen Q and to a lesser extent the new Fujitsu machine that are sort of these monolithic CPU machines that are energy efficient based on energy efficient chips. Then you've got the accelerators.
Well, this is all extremely relevant in the context of where we're going. I sat Wednesday morning on a panel on the path to exascale. And one of the questions the moderator started with was, what are the top barriers or the top barrier on the path to exascale? I picked power, but, you know, it's one of these things where there are so many barriers, it's hard to narrow it down to one. You're in this classic situation of multiple barriers, like if we had some ham, we could make ham sandwiches. If we had some bread,
right?
What's the number one barrier to ham sandwiches? Is it ham or bread? It's hard to say.
No, I've heard that reflected a lot, that the power, this exascale is a power problem. I think that is the top problem. I think think all the hardware technical problems will be solved. We'll be able to get compute at exascale. It's just, can we afford it? Do we need a hydroelectric dam to do it?
Yeah, and we've been passing out our SC11 edition trivia cards with little factoids from our research. And one of the first ones was looking at the fact that facilities is growing as a percent of HPC budgets every year. So this isn't even just at the top echelon of supercomputing. This is something that people are dealing with in their data centers.
Yeah, they are. Well, let's take another quick break, and then we'll come back with winners and losers.
Winners and losers, I love it.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by NVIDIA Tesla GPUs. Visit NVIDIA at SC11. www.nvidia.com/SC11.
All right, Michael, as we wrap up SC11, it's our last day, but the show floor is closed. We each got to see a lot of things. And as our tradition, we've got to each name a winner and a loser from Supercomputing 2011. What do you want to do first, winner or loser?
Let's start with a positive. Let's do the winners.
All right. Give me the good news. Who's your winner?
My winner, I'm going to pick a technology. I'm saying big data. I mean, you guys were talking about it, and I saw a lot of it. I mean, every vendor here, it seemed like, had a big data story of one sort or another. And there was a lot of talk about it. There were sessions about it. I mean, it's really taken hold over the last, I would say, 6 months in this community. And all of a sudden, it's an integral part of supercomputing and HPC.
In a very short time, it became a big message that, you know, these vendors weren't planning this a year ago, I'm sure, that big data was going to be such a major theme. And the interesting thing to me about it is that it has an interpretation in a lot of different technology areas. It's not strictly a storage play, although, right, you know, there's a lot of storage technology. There's a compute play here in terms of computing within the lifespan of data. There's an interconnects play, looking at real-time I/O and delivering massive amounts of data. There's even a cloud play in terms of how a lot of these enterprises at that IT level are dealing with big data issues. So it seems like just about every vendor, and that's, you know, even forgetting software, which of course is ubiquitous, but it seems like every vendor you go in and talk to has something to say about big data, and rightfully so.
I think there are actually, if I can just insert this, I would pick almost three interesting winners on the big data front right now after the show. This is based on multiple conversations. Number one would be SGI on the systems front. Sounds like they are really picking up business due to kind of newer verticals like fraud detection. Second of all would be Cray. And third of all would be a company called Fusion.io, which I know that they were here last year. I'm not sure before that if they were.
Did you make a crazy face t-shirt at the Fusion.io booth? I like that app.
It was pretty cool. No, didn't do that. I did get a I Love Big Data bracelet from the San Diego Supercomputer Center, though, which
I did get to go over and lose to Watson at Jeopardy. But I didn't get to make the crazy t-shirt. Those are three. Nicole, you're not following the rules. It's supposed to be one winner.
Sorry.
But
That's out. I'm going.
It's a big data thing. You're going with three winners instead of one. It's more than the usual amount of winners. I get it.
Those are good picks. Yeah, I mean, we saw there's a lot of flash memory guys here in the past. So they're the natural fit for this big data. And of course, we saw the Gordon supercomputer use that. So, yeah. I mean, just a lot of vendors interested in this, and I think we're gonna see that continue to grow. So that's my winner. So
I'm gonna pick up on where Nicole was going. My winner from the show is the home team. It's Cray.
Cray. Yeah.
You could practically stand at Cray at the convention center and throw stuff at Cray's office building. So they're just kind of coming over on their coffee break. But Cray had a huge show, starting right away with the announcement of the Blue Waters continuation. It was a very big deal for them, especially right after they won Titan. And that wasn't even the extent of their news. Nicole is mentioning their big data applications. And I noticed they are introducing an integrated storage line with Lustre, which I believe is a partnership with Xyratex. But getting Cray into the storage and Lustre business, I think, is very significant.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see that. But that new integrated Lustre storage is going to be part of that MCSA deal as well.
Well, I mean, I can't help but look at who's local when we go to a show like this. this. And, you know, I'm thinking of Cray being right here, and it's a big supercomputing thing. And, you know, the pressure's on them to have a good presence, and they did it.
So there's our winner. So let's go to losers. And
I'll just keep going since I'm on the home crowd. You know, there's the other side of it in terms of companies with big local presences. And I was expecting a lot out of Microsoft as we were coming into this show. But from a show perspective, they didn't really captivate the audience this time around. Ever since they launched the Technical Computing Initiative a little more than a year ago, which we were a big fan of in terms of putting the HPC, the Azure stuff, the high-end Excel, the Visual Studio stuff all in one group, looked really positive to us. But the organizational changes that have happened since then have put everything underneath Azure. And the message that's coming out of it is they're not interested in HPC except in the context of what can be done under Azure.
Now, I've talked to them fairly recently, and from their point of view, I mean, they're saying they're having their HPC cluster products and their Azure offering, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to be interoperable. But basically, they're saying their cloud Azure offering is just basically an extension of what they've been doing in HPC as well. So from their point of view, they've got what they want, and they're going to keep their HPC as is, and they're going to continue to maintain it. But that's not the perception the community has.
Well, they're going to keep selling HPC server for sure, but the strategic direction is to look for areas where it's going to be activated through an Azure play. Now, it could be a long-term missing middle sort of play that develops up from the bottom, but from a supercomputing 2011 standpoint, there aren't a lot of people out here who are looking to run their HPC applications through Azure.
Right, and that and the buzz for HPC server is basically gone. I mean, I've heard people in the industry here saying that, you know, they're not really considering Microsoft as a player anymore in the HPC OS business.
It's unfortunate. They've made such great strides. Now, you know, they had never gotten to the point where they were dominant by any means, but they were coming up on people's radar, and I think the shift in messaging is hurting them.
They, you know, they were all over the cloud. I mean, I remember a year and a half ago coming here to Seattle for an event in Bellevue and walking through the airport, and just cloud is everywhere, all these banners. And to lump the HPC under the cloud is strange, and I think they dropped the ball on the messaging, the follow through. And I think that they would have had a chance sort of to hop on the big data bandwagon with everyone else. But even that, they're dropping the ball on. And in fact, forgive me if I get this wrong, I just glanced at the news on my phone while I was sitting here pre-show, but it looks like they're kind of pulling out their Dryad product for big data in favor of Hadoop. And sorry, I'm not sure about the specifics, but if that's the case, that's a big strike against them. Big data could be a big story for them, but you know, that was kind of their key, you know, foundation offering right there, and that's not there, it looks like. So.
All right, how about you, Michael? Who have you got in the loser column?
Well, I'm going to do another technology or technology topic, and that's energy efficiency. Now, I know we just talked about
Green 500.
Green 500, and those guys, you know, BlueJinQ and some of those GPU computers are doing quite well, thank you. But I'm thinking more in the term of where we need to go in the next, you know, 7 to 10 years for exascale. And it doesn't look like we're getting there because, well, I think we talked about it last time, the top 500, top 10 systems are no more energy efficient than they were 6 months ago.
They're the same systems. What did you think they were going to do?
Right, but I mean, it's the Fujitsu system at least grew, but it's right. I mean, they're the same system. But you at least think, you know, there would have been newer computers up there that it would have been more energy efficient on the top 10, and we didn't see any.
The top 500 as a whole, is it getting more energy efficient?
Yes, as a whole, but I'm thinking exascale. Those are going to be top 10 systems. The top 10
presumably
has to be
at first.
Presumably, they're not going to show up at the bottom of the list. That would be a real good. So there's been some talk of ARM. There were three the ARM CPU, and that's one entryway to get there. And of course, there's a lot of talk about GPUs and now the mic, and those are more energy efficient CPU platforms or processor platforms, I should say. But they're not in the system yet. They're not in the pipeline. And sort of time is running out. It's like shifting over to those new architectures by itself takes a few years. And it seems like you know, we're not making the progress we need to if we're going to get there in 7 years.
These top 1% of systems are taking too many of the resources. Is this an Occupy top 500 situation here?
Yeah. We're the 1% or the 99%. Yeah.
We are the 99 gigaflops.
So, well, you know, we'll see how that goes for next year. But right now, energy efficiency, I think we're going to, it's a loser this time around. But everybody's talking about it, so it's not like nobody knows that there's a problem out there.
All right, how about Seattle as a whole? It was supposed to be cold and rainy the whole time. I found it'd be not too bad. Everything was, I could walk around the stuff. It was a nice
Seattle
location.
Were you in? It was free. It's freezing here. It's raining now.
You're from San Diego.
San Diego, North but, Carolina.
It's a great city. I love it here.
I love Seattle too. The conference center, we're outgrowing a little bit with the two floor thing.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a difficult layout, but I love Seattle. I love being here. We had some great events, great restaurants that were all nearby, and some fun parties that were put on by the vendors. And looking forward to Salt Lake.
Yeah, Salt Lake next year. Well, that wraps up our SC11 coverage for Soundbite for this year. Next week, we've got a kind of a short week Thanksgiving, but we'll try and do a Soundbite on Wednesday.
To squeeze in one more.
Before the turkey.
That's right.
All right. Until then, Addison, we'll talk then.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.